using an overpriced trash bag.
Pricey, pricey, pricey!
A bag that breaks.
Whippy, whippy, whippy!
Or a smelly bag.
Stinky, stinky, stinky!
Time to switch to Hefty Ultra Strong Trash Bags, always at an ultra low price.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
They're our best bags yet, and they cost less than Glad Force Flex were sold head to head. So you'll be
happy, happy, happy!
Hefty Ultra Strong with Arm & Hammer Odor Control. Available at Sam's Club.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome. You're listening to the Influence Change at Work show for Tuesday, April 28th, 2015. I'm your host, Heather Stagel, coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia, as I do once a month on Blog Talk Radio. This show is one of the many ways I help equip individuals and teams to influence change at Enclaria. Today, my guest is Carolyn Keeley, who is here to discuss communicating change with the results map. Carolyn is an internationally recognized communications strategist, change agent, trainer, facilitator, and author with over 20 years of experience in her field. She is the developer of the Results Map, a best practice process for strategic communications. The program is offered through practical dynamic workshops as well as the Results Map Handbook, a step-by-step guide packed with easy-to-use templates, worksheets, and case studies covering the full spectrum of communications. As principal and founder of Ingenium Communications, Carolyn and her team provide consulting and training services in a wide range of communications disciplines, including strategic planning, issue management, content strategy, stakeholder relationships, and knowledge exchange. A graduate from the Wharton School of Business Executive Program in Leading Organizational Change, Carolyn is a certified change management professional. She holds a bachelor's degree in communications and a master's in political science. Carolyn, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me, Heather. Really pleased to be here.
Great. Now, I'm always on the lookout for easy-to-use tools that people can use to help them influence change at work. And so a few months ago, or however long it was, we encountered each other on Twitter, and I was really intrigued by your results map. And so why don't we just start there with what is the results map? Maybe you can give us an overview of what it is.
Sure. That's right. So I think that is how we first connected, was on Twitter. And in fact, our results map is very similar to your irresistible change guide in that it's really a best practice process that we've packaged in a bit of a plug-and-play format designed to equip organizations with the tools, templates, samples, worksheets that enable them to have a really strategic approach to communications and change planning internally, rather than depending on external consultants. So in that way, it's a bit of a weird thing for a consultant to do, and many people have raised an eyebrow around it. But we really believe that this approach ends up providing more sustainable results because we're building capacity internally through, in essence, packaging our best practice in an easy way for organizations to embed internally.
Great. And the results map is, you use the model of a subway.
Exactly. Yeah, that's right. So I guess for your listeners, it is a very visual model that's kind of built around the idea of a subway map. So the idea is that we're trying to put forward a repeatable process for a very strategic focus on communications and change planning. And so the visual is a subway map, and it has the key junctures, if you like, of prepare, plan, implement, and evaluate. And so we offer this results map process through workshops, through consulting, and the handbook, as you mentioned, which also includes access to our online database of tools and templates.
Yeah, very handy resource.
Thank you.
So, well, what is unique about the results map approach?
Well, I think what's unique is that in the communications field in particular, we find that it's a discipline that's often characterized by a very reactive and ad hoc approach, and that's probably particularly the case when we're talking about change communication. So the whole idea of the results map is to have a very disciplined, rigorous, and planned approach that's focused on measurable outcomes. So in essence, we're really focused on trying to work with clients to ensure that there's strong alignment for their communication activities based on corporate goals, and that there's really a laser-like focus to whatever are measurable indicators of performance. So So the objectives and indicators of performance are, if you will, the bookends, and then the tactical planning in the middle, things like stakeholder analysis, message development, tactical or activity planning, kind of falls into place logically to the extent that those objectives and indicators are really nailed down.
Great. And it would probably help to give a little more detail of each of the steps in the subway model.
Sure.
About what's included in those, just a high-level overview.
Yeah, absolutely. Sure. So very quickly, the first juncture is really the prepare stage, and that has to do with what kind of research and consultative process, would be useful to inform a strategic communications or communications and change planning process. So basically, those things tend to look like doing key informant interviews, doing consultative workshops, doing benchmarking research, those kinds of inputs which are critical to making sure that you have a strategic approach that's really anchored in the best quality evidence. We also really emphasize the importance of project management because sometimes communications and change projects seem to go off the rails. And so we want to really make sure that in that prepare stage that we've got a really strong project management approach that's buttoned down. Then we jump into the planning stage, and there is a logical sequence here. So the idea is once you've done an appropriate level of preparation, that of course is scaled to fit the level of scale or size of your project, then you move into the planning stage, which is very much focused on setting measurable objectives. And so this is deceptively difficult, actually, because often it's not very clear why it is we're communicating or why it is we're changing. And so it really forces that rigor in looking at, okay, well, what are the business objectives we're trying to reach and how can communication help fuel those objectives forward? So that's the essence of the planning stage. Then we look at implementation, and the first big chunk that we focus on in the implementation juncture is message development. And a lot of times people find that unusual. It is kind of unorthodox in the communications industry, but the idea is that we really see messaging or storytelling as the main product of communications. The tactics, like a website or an intranet or a brochure, those are in essence vehicles. But what we're really looking at is what is the content, what is the product, and that's so important, particularly in a change context where it can be really difficult to land on what is the value proposition of our change and how do we bring that to life through compelling stories. So that's the key first element of the implement track. And then we move into tactical planning. So we're looking at things like what are the different activities or communication tactics that we want to recommend. In a change context, we tend to recommend a real focus on dialogue types of activities that have a real listening structure to them because just a one-way push is not going to work. We've got to really focus on an engagement kind of design to the tactical planning. And then once that's sorted out, we jump into evaluation. And so we're very big on the importance of evaluation in terms of making sure that you've got real-time access to the information that you need in order to make evidence-based decisions. And again, that's so important in a change context. We need to find some easy and meaningful ways to figure out what's working and what's not so that we can calibrate our approaches in real time. So that really, in essence, is the big picture of the prepare, plan, implement, and evaluate stages of the results map.
Great. Thank you. So now the results map is an approach to communications in general, so not
right.
Specifically change communications or even internal communications. So how do you specifically use it to communicate change within an organization?
Right. Well, that's a great question. You're quite right that it was initially developed in 2004 as a best practice process in communications in general. And it's just so happened that our practice has evolved to a focus really on internal communications, employee engagement, and increasingly change assignments, because this is very much what organizations are focused on as priorities. So So the idea of the results map is that the step-by-step disciplined approach can be customized based on the particular context. In a change context, that tends to be mainly around, first of all, understanding the stakeholder analysis environment. And so as part of our planning stage, when we look at analyzing the stakeholder environment, that tends to be of particular importance in a change context. We tend to want to look at both internal stakeholder groups and also external groups and what is the interplay between those two things. So that tends to pop out as a characteristic of change communication assignments. Also is defining and prioritizing audiences. And so sometimes people will have a generic approach to internal communication and just say, well, we want to communicate this thing to all staff. And in a change environment, I think it's really helpful to have a more nuanced perspective and look at what are the kind of organic channels of communication within an organization and how do we capitalize on those? So looking at different communities of audiences can be really important. Next is when we talk about messaging. Again, as I was mentioning earlier, this is a really big deal in a change context because we find actually a very interesting communications phenomenon is very often the story of a change is not very clear, and it tends to get kind of stuck in a lot of dialogue, often at an executive level. And one of the key outcomes that we're looking to drive through the results map is to really clarify the value proposition of a change, focusing on, firstly, why are we changing, and then what is the change going to look like, and how are staff to get engaged. So we tend to have a higher treatment on messaging in the case of a change project. The tactical mix, again, really tends to look quite different also in a change context because of the importance of opportunities for listening and dialogue. So traditional internal communications often has a sort of information dissemination approach, whereas in a change context, we use the results map really more to focus on experiences to create shared meaning. So that's quite a different model, and frankly, I find quite a bit more exciting than just simply pitching information out to employees.
Putting together newsletters, course, and all that stuff.
Well,
right?
Exactly. Yeah. That's it. And in the case of a change context, I mean, there's no email that's going to solve your problem here. So we've really got to look
right.
at not just information dissemination, but this idea of how do we create imaginative opportunities for employees to really create shared meaning through experience? And then all that ladders up to the evaluation framework. So that is a consistent thing in all of our communications projects. And ultimately, that gets at that intersection between not only communication success, but change success. So how do we know when our change has been effective? What would that look like? And how do we identify communication indicators that are revealing and meaningful to show that the change has taken root?
Great. So I'd like to dig into one of the concepts that you were just talking about with engagement, and specifically within mm-hmm. communications. How or what are some of the things that you've done through communications to engage people and to create more of a conversation and tell a story?
Right.
Versus just having
one-way
communication.
Yeah, that's a great question. I would say probably one of our most successful tactics has been dialogue sessions. And it's interesting that often executives resist this because they're used to presentations. They're used to having, you know, a formal PowerPoint deck, get wound up, pushed out the door, okay, go through this PowerPoint deck, and then you're done. So, in fact, what we recommend to many of our clients in change context is quite the opposite, is to just have dialogue sessions where on a predictable cycle, a change leader will make him or herself available just to have a conversation. We make sure that the room is set up in a more sort of friendly posture so that it's not a didactic kind of situation with one person presenting at the front of the room, but rather just a very comfortable kind of round table or even just a coffee chat where the change leader would provide a bit of an update and really turn the floor over to staff and ask about what are some questions that people have, are there any preoccupations, what do staff need to feel equipped to go through this change in a positive way? And it's amazing that we find consistently, whether we're dealing in transformation projects or technology projects, reorgs, this always seems to work because there's such an appetite for, first of all, the visibility and the connection of a change leader to staff, and also this idea of communication and dialogue as the drumbeat of change, that I know that as an employee, I can count on the fact that this change leader is going to be available, let's say, on the last Friday of every month or whatever it looks like. And so if I have questions or anxieties, I'll have an opportunity to have that conversation, and it's socialized to be okay. And so we find that works very well. Often can then dovetail also with other forms of communication. So, for example, we're working with a client at the moment who's then taking the questions and the feedback that comes up in these sessions and putting it online on an intranet so that other employees also who probably have the same questions and may or may not have the comfort level to raise it in a public forum can also benefit from that content. So that's one of the main channels that we find work really well.
Great. Yeah, so important to remember that listening is part of communication.
Absolutely, that's right.
Yeah.
And also I think another key characteristic that comes up is the emotional aspect of communication in a time of change. Organizations tend to struggle with that and focus more on deluge of information and words, where really we want to think about the fact that employees experience change more at a gut level than at an intellectual level. And so we've got to really connect on that emotional plane. And so these dialogue sessions and any kind of opportunities for regular, predictable face-to-face exchange are really important in terms of addressing that human aspect of change.
That's a great point, because I've heard it said that you should communicate seven times, seven different ways or something like that.
Yeah.
And it just sounds like a fire hose. And the point is not just to communicate a lot. It's to actually have a point and tell a story and create that dialogue, like you said.
That's it, exactly. And I think you're basically trying to lean into the change through communication so that you're creating the conditions where a person is creating their own sense of meaning through time. And so that can take all kinds of different modalities. So sure, it's great to have PowerPoint presentations and intranet content and events and so on. But eventually it is really through conversation, like really conversation is the smallest unit of change. So it's through conversation that people eventually experience the change and make meaning for themselves. And so we have to provide opportunities for that process to happen, which can happen at different rates depending on an individual.
Right. Great points. So another area that you talk about in the results map that is as really important is evaluate. And you don't always see
right.
that. And so I was curious, you know, why is that so important and what are some top tips that you would have for evaluation?
Yes, we are very big on evaluation. I think really evaluation has always been the Achilles heel for communicators. We've really struggled with finding practical and meaningful ways to evaluate the value of our work and the results that we are able to contribute, and that's probably done a significant disservice to our profession, particularly relative to other professional groups. So I think evaluation is a big deal for communications in the first instance, but it's particularly important in a change context because you really need to find a way to keep track of how things are playing out in real time so that you can make course corrections. And so really when we're looking at communications planning in a change context, you may have a really great communication strategy that you're executing, but then, as they say, no plan survives contact with the enemy. You know, we have to see, well, how is this working in real life? How are people responding? What is going on with the change or in other parts of the organization? And how do we adjust and be really agile in making adaptations in real time? So that's where we find evaluation is really helpful in order to read the landscape of various stakeholders in order to do something with the information. So that's quite critical. Sometimes people think we're evaluating just to show how wonderful we are or to justify our existence. Quite the contrary, the whole philosophy around evaluating communication, especially in a change context, is to get you the information you need to be as high-performing as possible. One of the easiest ways that we've done this is through what we call regular pulse check surveys, which we will do online for clients at regular intervals, depending on the nature of a change context. And just really even 5 or 6 quick questions in terms of how are people feeling, do they have enough information about the change, what is concerning to them, and what tools or support are they looking for from the organization can be extremely revealing in terms of getting some great ideas in making course corrections in our communications approach, and also just really sending a signal that we're interested in listening. We're interested in feedback and demonstrating that feedback loop that, yes, staff have provided ideas, and here's how the organization is responding. So from a change perspective, this is also giving mileage in terms of engagement.
Great. So are there any objective measures? So you talked about doing pulse check surveys,
mm-hmm.
but also, you know, what else are you measuring typically in your communication plan?
Yeah,
that you might be able to quantify?
Generally, exactly. So in our evaluation model, we've got what we call a communications performance indicator matrix, and we look at basically a food chain of evidence, so different types of indicators of performance. So the first type are strictly process indicators. So those are just indicators of efficiency. So, for example, are we sending our monthly newsletter out on time, and are we on budget, and is the machine working effectively? So that's what I would call a necessary but insufficient criterion, because, of course, you can be efficient but not be effective. So then you kind of move up the food chain, if you like, and then you look at activity or output metrics, and those are things that give you a sense of raw reach. So, for example, our intranet content has been seen by X number of staff, or we find that we're getting 100% participation rate in our dialogue sessions, and so on. So, again, that's instructive because it gives you a sense of the reach of your communication activity, but doesn't yet respond to whether this is doing you any good. And so that's the big issue that happens in communication measurement, because we tend to stop at that output level. So the next category of indicators that we look at in our performance indicator matrix are relationship indicators, and those are indices of how stakeholder relationships are going. So that can take a number of different forms. For example, you might look at alignment. So, for example, in the case of a merger or acquisition, do we find that there's alignment in messaging, or is there a disconnect? Do we have some executives off saying A and other executives are off saying B? Well, that's not going to be good. We can do content analysis also in order to understand, well, what are the main narratives of our change and what's the level of coherence and repetition of that messaging. So that can be important. We can look at rates of engagement. So I'm sure you've been to staff engagement events in a change context where either there's a really positive, constructive dynamic, or you can hear crickets and nobody's participating. So there is that qualitative dimension to a relationship indicator of getting a sense of the degree to which staff are engaging. So that can take a number of different forms, but an example would be how do staff actually participate in an event, which is quite different as to whether they showed up or not. Mm-hmm. And then the ultimate measure is really a result indicator of performance. And so in the food chain, you're going from process to activity to relationship to result indicators. Result indicators are really ultimately how do we know that our communication has been successful in creating an observable, meaningful change. So, for example, if we're looking at a reorganization and we want staff to be working across silos, well, then how do we track whether, in fact, that's happening? Or if we're looking at a change that's focused on enhancing client satisfaction, well, then what is the client satisfaction rate and how do we measure that progress over time? So we find that helpful to look at different types of indicators and ideally what's the interplay between them. Do you find that the more activity that you're doing, the better are your result indicators, and so on. So you're looking at that juxtaposition of indicators.
Great. Thank you. That was great information.
Great.
I like the, are you getting crickets, or are people actually talking?
Yes.
Crickets.
We've had a lot of crickets in our day.
Not going well.
Right.
So what are some of the biggest errors or missteps that you see when people communicate change?
Yeah, that's a good question. I would say the most common one that we come across, because there are a few very, very classic pitfalls that people seem to step into, and probably the most frequent is a lack of focus on the why. I think this is probably because of sort of the curse of knowledge, right? So you've got a bunch of executives who have met for maybe hundreds or thousands of hours and talked about why it is this thing has to change. And then by the time they communicate it externally, they're kind of sick and tired of talking about it. They've got a clear understanding of why we're changing because they're analyzing the metrics or they're looking at the business strategy. And they really fail to realize this kind of 30,000-foot drop that exists between their level and the employee level. And this is a real problem because if staff are not crystal clear as to why we're changing, then you're basically building a house on quicksand, right? Because as we go forward in a change and the eventual bumps in the road, the sort of inevitable challenges come up, we've not built that resiliency by making the case as to why we need to change in a first instance. So that is fundamental. It's absolutely critical to start any kind of change communication activity with the why. And it's amazing often to senior executives that, in fact, this is not as clear to staff as it is to them.
Right.
Have you come across that, Heather, in your experience?
Definitely, yes.
Yes.
Where leaders are relying more on their own authority.
Right.
To say, we should do this and just trust me.
Exactly.
Versus
That's
making the case and selling it and convincing people
right.
that that's
so, yeah, I think,
a good thing to do.
In terms of this kind of journey of creating shared meaning, that's got to be the place to start is in the why. I think the other pitfall that we see very regularly is what I would call the black hole effect, which is that often leaders want to wait till everything is totally buttoned down, totally crystal clear before they communicate. And
yes.
Often this happens in a very incremental, sort of insidious way, and we fail to realize that while all these conversations are happening behind closed doors, we're actually creating a vacuum. And in this period of the black hole, people will make up their own minds as to what's going on. So certainly communicating nothing is communicating something. And it's
right.
going to cause a real problem in terms of erosion of trust and engagement. So a good rule of thumb is that a week delay in communicating pertinent information can cost you a month of weak employee engagement. So there really is a compelling business case to be made to communicate as much as you can, as early as you can, and forget about the idea of perfection. In a change environment, we've got to kind of go with the flow and get comfortable with the uncomfortable. And that may be communicating partial information. That's probably better than allowing this black hole phenomenon to continue.
Or even communicating we don't know.
Right, absolutely. That can certainly work. And then very quickly, I would say pacing. That's a big challenge that we find is that organizations struggle to sort of create this idea of communication as the drumbeat of change so that people can see that communication is keeping pace with the change. And so that's very helpful. It's almost like a metronome that communication is sort of a reassuring touch point that throughout a change, particularly one that can be destabilizing, I know I'm going to get regular information and access to executives. So that pacing part is another issue that we see quite often.
Great. Well, thank you for those. And where can people learn more and get their hands on your results map?
Great. Well, I would love to connect with listeners, so they can certainly learn more at resultsmap.com. And we have all kinds of white papers and best practices, as well as our handbook available on the website. Would also love to connect on Twitter. My handle is at Carolyn Keeley, or by email. Feel free to drop me a line at carolyn@resultsmap.com.
Great, Carolyn. Thanks so much for being here and sharing the details of your results map and your tips and insights on communication today.
Terrific. Thanks so much for the invitation. I really enjoyed the opportunity.
Great. And coming up next month on Tuesday, May 19th, Dee Daly joins the show to share how to deal with difficult people and smile while doing it. She recently presented this topic 2 weeks ago at the ACMP conference and had 250 people show up at her presentation. So I'm looking forward to hearing what she says about that. Thank you so much for listening to the Influence Change at Work show. If you'd like to find more resources to help you influence change in your organization, including individual coaching, team workshops, and upcoming training events, please visit anclaria.com. While you're there, sign up for my monthly newsletter and receive 12 free templates from my change management toolkit that Carolyn mentioned, the Irresistible Change Guide. Until next time, take care and best wishes for your change initiative.
Using an overpriced trash bag.
Pricey, pricey, pricey!
A bag that breaks.
Wimpy, wimpy, wimpy!
Or a smelly bag.
Stinky, stinky, stinky!
Time to switch to Hefty Ultra Strong Trash Bags, always at an ultra low price.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
They're our best bags yet, and they cost less than Glad ForceFlex were sold head-to-head. So you'll be...
happy, happy, happy!
Hefty Ultra Strong with Arm & Hammer Odor Control. Available at Sam's Club.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
Using an overpriced trash bag.
Pricey, pricey, pricey!
A bag that breaks.
Wimpy, wimpy, wimpy!
Or a smelly bag.
Stinky, stinky, stinky!
Time to switch to Hefty Ultra Strong Trash Bags, always at an ultra low price.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
They're our best bags yet, and they cost less than Glad ForceFlex were sold head-to-head. So you'll be...
happy, happy, happy!
Hefty Ultra Strong with Arm & Hammer Odor Control. Available at Sam's Club.
Hefty, hefty, hefty! Hey!